friends, look, Brother Branham says, believing the word for your day is also an evidence of having the Holy Ghost. And there are those that claim to believe this message, but friends, their lives don't line up with the message. So in fact, they really don't believe it. Because if they believed it, they would live it. They would do what the prophet said if they believed it. But they don't believe it. And therefore, they make up their own doctrine. They do sort of like what Aaron did. They mold a golden calf, as it were. They skillfully mold their own dogma. They skillfully mold their own doctrine of the message and shape it into something that Brother Branham called idolatry. Now, we know that in the natural, Brother Branham said, speaking of the time of the coming of the Lord, he said, watch when Russia goes after the oil, natural oil. And we're seeing that happening. But Brother Branham also said in the time of the Lord, watch when the foolish virgin go after the spiritual oil. When they go after the spiritual oil, in other words, they go to get the Holy Ghost. And they're going to think they're going to get it. But Brother Branham said, don't the people realize it's not going to happen according to the word of God? While they're trying to come back and get the Holy Ghost, the bridegroom will come and take away the bride. So there's going to be the foolish virgin. All of a sudden, they're going to wake up. And they're going to say, well, you know, I believe this message. And they're going to go after the Holy Ghost in their own way, trying to get born again. But all they're doing is changing the outer look of things. But the inner man isn't getting touched, because there's only one thing that will touch the inner man, and that's the unadulterated word of God. That's the only thing that can change the inner man. Ideals and creeds and doctrines can't change the inner man. But the word of God can change the inside of a person. It ain't just window dressing. A lot of people wear window dressing. All of a sudden, we're not going to cut our hair no more. All of a sudden, we're going to wear dresses now. All of a sudden, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, you know. And it's window dressing. Because there's only one way to get the Holy Ghost, and that's through the unadulterated word of God. There's only one place to get the unadulterated word of God, and that's through God's mouthpieces today. The fivefold ministry, the voice of many waters. Hallelujah. You can't go out to the denominations and get the Holy Ghost. God's already left there. And you know, well, I'll get to that in a moment. There's an elect out of each church age. They receive the message for the day, the light of the day, and then they're sealed away to the day of redemption. Like I said, those foolish virgins will begin to wake up and say, "Say, I think maybe we ought to have some of that oil." Listen, friends. When God cast Cain out and put a mark on him, Cain didn't go out and say, "Well, you know what? I'll show you. I won't worship at all." No, Cain didn't do that, did he? He built his own church. Cain built his own church. Cain had churches. Cain continued to worship. said, look, you can receive it in the way I'm giving it to you. He had his own ideal about it. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There's only two seed in the world today. And that is the seed of God and the serpent seed. And if you ain't one, you're the other. There ain't no middle ground. Now I know, and I preach it, and I still believe it, because I see it in the message and I see it in the Bible, there's going to be some that are going to be saved that don't make it as part of the bride, as a remnant. But remember what they're going to go through. The Bible says that the dragon will make war on the remnant. And they're going to seal their testimony in their own blood. I've heard people say, well, if I don't make it in the rapture, I'll just make it through tribulation. I'll seal my testimony in my own blood. It ain't going to be an easy thing. Especially when the prophet of God said, cut me open. Fill me full of sulfur and set me on fire, but don't let me go through that tribulation. Now, that's pretty bad. Now, he bade many to come to the supper. And it was his supper that the invitation was to. It wasn't the supper that John down the road was having. It wasn't the supper that Frank up this way was having. It was the supper that this master was having. It wasn't the supper that the Baptist was having. It wasn't the supper that the Presbyterians was having. It wasn't the supper that the Catholics was having. It was the supper that God had. And he said, store up this food for meat in due season. Because there's coming a famine for the hearing of the word of God. Not a famine for the preaching of the word of God, but the hearing. They're hearing other things. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go over to his supper. I think I'll just go home and I'll listen to me a tape. That ain't where the invitation is. The invitation is to come to the word. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If people believed what Brother Branham said, they'd be in church. That's just all there is to it, because that's what he preached. And it wouldn't have been good enough for those here in this parable, in this Bible, to have decided, well, I'll go somewhere else to eat. No, you had to come where the invitation was. Friends, I'm going to put it to you plain. People who live around this area are going to be without excuse because God's got a church here. Well, we thought, well, that you thought wrong. They're going to be without excuse. You think about this now, friends. I think about, you know, look around the United States. Well, how is the world going to be without excuse? Because God's got churches around the world. And I think about different places that I know of where there was a church. All of a sudden, there was a faction rose up within the church, didn't agree with something that was going on, decided they're just going to go out and start our own church. I've preached at one of them before. The man kept telling me, wanting me to come and preach, kept telling me, well, we talked to Brother Biscoe, we talked to Brother Biscoe, we talked to Brother Biscoe. After I went there and preached, I thought, wonder what Brother Biscoe said. Because he never did tell me what Brother Biscoe said. Brother Biscoe might have said, you rascal. I don't know. Every time in every age, God sent the light. The light for that day. And each time there was a people that received it. And they were born again in the word of their day. And each time God would begin to shine a little more light and send another messenger, there'd be those that would say, now hold on a minute. We received this message right here, but this is it. We're not going on with this other stuff. That's fanaticism. The Lutheran said, out here preaching on the street corners, the Wesley ministry, his method, that's where Methodists come from. There's a method of John Wesley's preaching. And they said, we're not going to be part of them. And they built a fence around the doctrine. And they refused to move on with the light. They had an invitation to move on with the light, and they refused to. You know what's left for them? Outer darkness. When you refuse the light, the prophet said you receive darkness. You're left in darkness when you refuse the light. And then Wesley went off the scene. Here comes the restoration of the gifts and the move through the Pentecostal. And the Methodist said, now hold on. We ain't going to go for none of this speaking in tongues and dancing in the spirit and all this. Bunch of fanatics. This is what we believe right here. And you know, the Bible calls them prostitutes because said they were daughters of the great whore, Rome, the Catholic Church. That's right. It's in the book of Revelations. Why? Because they wouldn't accept the relationship with God. They chose the relationship of man, of making their own doctrine. And then God sent a message in this end time. He sent a messenger with a message and the opening of the word. And people who had organized around speaking in tongues and dancing in the spirit and all these things, they said, wait a minute. Now, we can't take that serpent seed stuff. We believe in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We can't take this Jesus only oneness stuff. That's what they call it. But we aren't Jesus only. And they formed their own creeds. You know what creeds is? It's not laws. It's doctrine. This we believe. Brother Bram said the problem with that was they put a period after. Instead of saying, and all that God will add to. And then we come down into the message. Brother Branham quotes the scripture and said, the scripture said, it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Now look, friends, Catholics ain't close. We see through that. That's not going to be deceptive. The Baptists, we see through that. Even the Pentecostals and their movement, UPC and all them, we see through that. That don't deceive us. We're not drawn to that. But where is it going to be so close? People who say they believe that God sent a prophet, but won't heed to the word the prophet preached. They'll take this little quote, and from that, they carefully fashion out a God of their own. One that says, oh, Brother Branham was against us congregating in churches. I ain't going to be a part of the church. I want to be part of the bride. See how they take quotes like that? Who was Brother Branham talking to when he said, I no longer call you church, I call you bride? He was talking to people sitting in church. What do? They turn their ear against the truth. Just like when Moses went down to Egypt, an old man, 80 years old now, no longer a young warrior, but an 80-year-old man, long beard, gray hair, walking on a stick. And he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Pharaoh said, you got to be kidding me. Who are you? Aren't you that one we banned to the desert? Look at this crazy old coot. He said, if you don't do it, you're going to regret it because God's going to judge this nation. Turned a deaf ear, didn't believe it. You know, the thing about it, after every plague, Pharaoh would say, oh, well, okay, I'm going to let him go. No, I changed my mind. No, I changed my mind. I'm not going to let him go. It wasn't until after God took the firstborn of every home, even down to their cattle, sent the death angel through to take all their firstborn, except those who were under the blood, those who had the token, which was a representation of the Holy Ghost. It passed over them. Friends, there's a death angel passing by. And it's killing spiritually people who are not under the blood. And even after it took the firstborn, after Israel packed up and pulled out and left Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind again. I'm going after them. I'm going to bring them back. And you know, that was all in the hands of God. But look at how he turned a deaf ear toward the word of God. And Brother Branham said in the message, is your life worthy of the gospel? That's the same thing people are doing today. They're turning a deaf ear to the word of God. And when they do, there's nothing left for them but judgment. Bible said that the common people heard him readily. The common people. Brother Branham was, well, I'll get to that in a moment. Common people, poor bunch. One time, Brother Branham was talking to Hope's stepdad. And he was telling him about people receiving the Holy Ghost. And the man, the stepfather, told him, well, I don't believe such stuff as that. He said, you let me hear, and he named off some businessman, one of the wickedest businessmen in the town. He said, you let me hear him go down there and get that and let him say he's got it, then I'll believe it. Brother Bram said, well, you're never going to hear it then. And he rejected it, and Brother Branham said that man died instantly without God. Why? Because he spoke against the Holy Ghost. Israel wouldn't believe Jesus. Said that he was an illegitimate born child. And people believe that. And they wouldn't hear him. And you know what? Brother Bam said, what they do? He said, they sent their souls to hell because they rejected him. But you heard, said the common people heard him gladly. Brother Bam, at a meeting, there was a great general, General Valdina from Mexico, Mexican general, that was in one of his meetings. And the light shined across his path, and he come down humbly to the altar and received the Holy Ghost. And he went back to Mexico and started telling about this man sent from God and began to tell. He went up to the president and told him about it and said, we need to get that man to come here to Mexico. And the president agreed with him. And so said, we'll get him. And so to get him, they said, we're going to have to get this great arena. And we're going to have this great arena to have him down. Well, word got over to the local high bishop from the Catholic Church. Now, in case you don't know it, these Spanish-speaking countries like Mexico and a lot of them down to Central America and all that, they're predominantly Catholic. Catholics has had a long hold in them countries. And he come up there to talk to the president and said, I hear tell you're going to have a Protestant man come in here preaching to people. He said, yes, where we are. He says he's a reputable person, said our great general has vouched for him and said we're going to have him come in, said that people will come out to hear him. And the bishop said, the only people that's going to come out to hear him is going to be ignorant people. That's the only ones that will go out to hear a man like that. And the president said, well, you've had them for 500 years. Why are they still ignorant? And so Brother Bram said, that done that. So they brought him in. And there was such a crowd of people that had to lower Brother Branham down into this arena on ropes to get him in there. He couldn't get through all the people. And he was there preaching these meetings. And he had prayer lines. And it went night after night. Many of y'all remember, know the story. There was a Mexican woman, little young woman, about 22 years old, had a baby. The baby had died 9 o'clock that morning. And here it was 10 o'clock that night. And she was trying to make her way up to the platform to get to the prophet. And Billy Paul come to him and said, "Daddy, I've got 300 ushers down there, and they can't stop this woman that don't weigh no more than about 100 pounds. Said she's climbing over top of them with that baby. She's going between their legs. She's coming every way she can to get to this platform." Brother Branham said, "I'll send Brother Moore down there. He's bald like me. She won't know the difference." Nothing was stopping her. And about the time he went to send Brother Moore down there, a vision struck. And he saw a little Mexican baby sitting there laughing. He said, "Wait a minute, Billy." He said, "Let her up here." And he said, "But Daddy, we can't do that. There's been people out here with prayer cards, and she don't have a prayer card, and they've been waiting. It'll cause such a stir." He says, "I saw a vision." He said, Billy said, "Well, that's different." And so they brought her up there. Brother Bam said, I didn't know what God was going to do. He said, "But I laid my hands on that baby the same way I laid them on Brother Way when he died. And said that blanket began to kick, and that baby came back to life, and that woman began to scream, and the Holy Spirit just flooded through that place." And he told Brother Moore, said, "I want you to take this woman, and I want you to go down to the doctor that pronounced that baby dead. And I want a written statement signed from him that he pronounced that baby dead at 9 o'clock this morning, and that it's alive now." Well, when he got that written statement, said the newspapers couldn't contain it. News got out and traveled everywhere. And God was just healing people. Newspaper reporter one time came to interview Brother Branham. Brother Branham said she was Catholic. Said she came up there holding a cigarette in her hand, wanted to interview him. And said, I'm not trying to make a derogatory remark about this woman holding a cigarette, whatever. She was bound. She needed to be delivered. But here she came up there, wanted to interview Brother Branham. And said, "I don't know about all this. By what authority do you do this? Preach the way you do and heal and sick. By what authority?" He said, "By the authority of the Word of God." She said, "Well, if I had to mix with all these ignorant people to be considered a Christian, I don't think I'd want to be a Christian." She said, "And I hear they're the ones that's going to inherit the earth." Brother M said, "Yes." And said, "Well, I wouldn't want to be there." He said, "Don't worry, you won't be." He said, "Now you mean to tell me you believe that you're a Catholic? You believe that the Virgin Mary, Mother of God?" And he said, "Yes." Said, "Did you know that she had to speak in tongues and dance in the spirit just like the rest of them in the upper room to get the Holy Ghost?" She said, "I don't believe that." He said, "It's in the Bible." She said, "Well, we're not supposed to read the Bible." He says, "Then how are you supposed to know the truth?" He said, "She was in the upper room. It's right here in the Bible. And she received the Holy Ghost just like the rest of them did." He said, "And if God made the mother of Jesus receive the Holy Ghost in order to be saved, then everybody else has got to also." We're not going to make it without it. Abraham said, "But people offer excuses. Well, I'm a Presbyterian. We don't believe that. I'm a Baptist. We don't believe in no such stuff as that. I'm Lutheran. He said, well, that don't have anything to do with it. That don't mean you're a Christian. That means you belong to a bunch of people that's organized. You belong to a Lutheran lodge or a Baptist lodge or a Pentecostal lodge. He said, a Pentecostal lodge or a Presbyterian lodge. He said, there's only one church. And that's the only one way to get into it, and that's by a new birth. You're born into the church of Jesus Christ, a member of his body, of the spiritual delegation of heaven. Then the signs that was in Christ is in you and lives through you. Christians, you must have a personal relationship with God in order to be a son of God. And you must become relation to God. He must be your father in order for you to be a son or a daughter. Only his sons and daughters are saved, not the members of a church, but sons and daughters. There's only one thing that will produce that, and that's the new birth. The new birth is the only thing that will produce relationship to God. This flesh I live in is not a son of God. But that's on the inside of me, that real me down in there, that's the son of God. This out here reflects sin. It reflects death. It reflects the curse that was put on man when he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But this on the inside of me is eaten from the tree of life. Brother Branham said, someday the trumpet's going to sound for the last time, and the Bible will lay closed on the pulpit. Then they'll be asked to give a reason for what they've done with these treasures that's been sent to them. He said, it's a book of treasures. When the ones that reject the message, this is in Revelations chapter 4, series, Revelation of Jesus Christ series, Brother Ram says, when the ones that reject the message, when they'll be asked to give a reason, what then? Going to stand there just as certain as this book is written. You're going to stand there and be asked for a reason. Oh, it pays, my brother and sister. It behooves us as sons and daughters of God to check up on ourselves every hour of the day. Paul said, I die daily, yet I live, not I, but Christ that lives in me. And souls that are in prison now, he said, all those that rejected the message of the hour, before the doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed. First, before they went without mercy. Noah shut up was a testimony. God shut the door. After his third pull at Sodom, the doors were shut. There was no more mercy. The 10 couldn't be found, and the lost had the gospel preached that could not be saved, because it would just been that way in every age. Every age rejected the message before judgment. Have they done it again? It is appearing. Is that appearing in a pillar of fire down there on the river? Is that appearing along in the message of cutting the women and throwing the places where it should be and rebuking those ministers that takes place with the denominations instead of staying on the word of God? When God has thoroughly vindicated that it's him, not some poor, ignorant, unlearned thing like a man, it's God. And have we now come to the spot that the third pool will return again to the lost eternally? When the souls in prison begin to hear it, it's too late. The bride would have done been sealed. What is it the people want today? They want entertainment. After entertainment, entertain me. Brother Branham said, God don't send entertainers, he sends preachers. To preach the unadulterated gospel of Christ, the power of his resurrection. And every man that believes and accepts it's born again. Outside of that, you're lost. And this nation will be lost. Sure, it's predicted in the Bible, this United States, it'll fall. It's right on the road for right now because it's accepted gaiety and big times and social things like that instead of the gospel. They refused the cross and accepted and got a double cross from the devil. This is redemption by power. All right, put on your shockproof jackets. Here it comes. Look, every man that rejects light goes blind and walks in darkness because they don't accept light. God sends ministers who preach the gospel. He sends signs and wonders among men to vindicate it to be true. And men reject it. And there's nothing left but darkness for you. Walk in the light while the light's a shining, my brother. Receive the light. Christ is the light. He comes to bring light to you. But those who reject the light receive darkness. And every man and woman tonight who rejects light walks in darkness, not knowing where they're going. He's staggering along pretty good, popular with the people, but wonder how he stands in the presence of God. Brother Brandon was on to talk about how England had its chance. Charles Finney, Wesley, preaching the gospel. He said England had their chance for the gospel. And they rejected it. They rejected the word of God. He says, and now their sins are known throughout the world. Brother Branham said, in 1963, said, this year the United States will either accept the gospel or they'll never do it. The United States, friends, they turned down the gospel. Nothing left for this nation but judgment. But God, why still calling? Why there's still room? Why there's still time? Why you feel the tug on your heart? Don't wait, don't hesitate. Come and give your life to the Lord. Amen. Come be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. God cares. He cares about you. He shows that he cares about you. God does strange things sometimes just to show you that he's thinking of you, that he cares about you. While he's showing you that, then listen to the voice of God. Give your life to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, Brother Branham said, the only thing we can do is bring the gospel. The gospel is the word plus power. The gospel came in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It's a power of God that will change your life. It'll set you free from the things that are holding you down. It'll take the desires from you. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't no always so goody-goody. God had to deliver me. I stand here this morning before you with the testimony that God delivered me. Now, I was one of those that was raised around this message. I was a young boy when my mom and dad came out of the denominations. Young boy when they came to this message. I remember being about 6, 7 years old, sitting on our porch listening to the message of Brother Branham. We didn't have a church to go to. Till finally somebody told us about a church some few towns over. And when we found out there was a church, you know what we did? We went to church. Hallelujah. But I was raised that way. But when I got to be a teenager, I strayed. Then I did one of those turnabouts, came back and put on some window dressing. Then when the times got tough, I strayed again. And God had to deliver me. When I was in high school, I smoked pot and did drugs. God had to deliver me. When I strayed again, I become an alcoholic. God had to deliver me. And I wanted to be delivered. And I'm standing before you this morning, friends, telling you, look at the power of God, what he can do. Now, the preaching of the word through this vessel, preaching out to the people and changing the hearts of people. That's the power of God. Let's stand to our feet. Anybody wants to receive the Lord as their Savior this morning? Come while the altar is open. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for what you've done for us, Lord. How you've, Lord, moved through your church this morning. How you've moved through the people, dear God. Lord, you know the hearts and desires of each and every one here this morning, dear God. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, you don't look at our mistakes, but you look at the desire of our heart. Dear God, and the desire of our heart brings us to you, Lord God. I pray, God, that you will touch your people this morning, dear God. I pray if there's anyone here that's sick, may you heal them, Lord. I pray, God, if there's anyone here, Lord, that needs, Lord, the Holy Ghost, I pray that you'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. I pray, dear God, if there's any here, dear God, that needs to come to you, Lord, to prepare themselves to receive the Holy Ghost. Let them come, Lord. Lord, we ask, God, your blessings on the people this morning. And to the, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God, amen.